I am Jeff Williams, and I am an alcoholic. We're all right tonight. Wasn't worth a dime this morning, but we're all right tonight. That's what I like about you and I. Total mishap this morning at 9. Fine at 8, you know. I love it. God, I'd hate to stay the way I am all the time. But I know we don't have to worry about it. It'll be different in the morning. And sometimes I can make it different by waking up at 4 o'clock. Just wake up. All of it went to hell. I love to live with me. Yeah, wouldn't you hate to live with yourself? Just right in there all the time. People say, you know, you're supposed to live right in there. Hell, who in the hell's going to live in there? Not anybody in this room is going to live in there, I'll guarantee you that. The folks that are not in this room may live in there, but not us. Goodness gracious me. Well, this will be a quickie. Only like we can get through by 8:15. There's some things that are just crazy in this program. You got to be willing to go to any length. See, you say, sure, I'll do that. We'll all do that. You know, we get rededicated to living minutes. We'd just be happy to. We're not going to mean anything, but we're happy to do it. And they say, you know, you got to be willing to go to any length. But you and I have no idea when you say, yeah, I'll do that, that we're going to have to. You don't even believe that right now. You're going to have to. They're not kidding us. And when they said, are you really, really, really going to really let all those defects of character come to the surface and eliminate them all? Really be willing to do that? That it's really going to separate you from the way you've ever been before? They use the men, the boys, the girls, the women, but it's the difference that I have never been before. Am I really going to do that? Because, baby, when you get ready to do that, you're going to go to any length to live through that period of time. And you're just going to do it. And you know why it would take so long? How many times have you stayed on the same subject? How many times you talked? How long did you talk to your sponsor about three different things, and if it wasn't one of them, there's another one? One of those three. Not anymore. Hell, we don't need any more than that. You know, we can run three for all 15, 20 years. Might drop one of them off and escalate the other one. And I love dry drunks, because when I get something that I can really get down there with it in and can get in there, I like to creep back out. Bleed it for everything you can get. Don't just pick up the phone and come out of it. Wouldn't that be ridiculous? After you've gone to all that trouble to get in there and tried like hell to get everybody else in there with you. Now, if I can get somebody in there with me, then I can just right on, right on out. But when you can't get them in there, you got to hang in there. I love us when we go from 40 to 3, just like that. How do you think you look? The worst that any human being alive, breathing on earth, looks. Nobody looks that bad. Sober, in total self-pity. What happened? Well, I'll tell you exactly what happened. Everything went wrong. Nothing really changed, but everything went wrong. How do you know? Hell, you went to the bathroom, thought a little, and found out. Well, we're going to live a spiritual life. You and I know nothing about that. We've never been exposed to it. We've never done it. You know, when people talk about taking 4 steps in depth, don't worry about it. You and I take everything in depth. Some guy told me, I said, you know, I really believe that I really didn't do the 9th step as good as I could. I thought, that's us. That's us. God's not done right. So we probably didn't do that as thorough as we should. Which means if I do it thoroughly and right, everything else is going to be sugar and ice cream and cake.
Ain't going to be that way. No matter how good you think you do it.
And they didn't say, do it good, we're going to grade you on it, it's going to be fine. If you're good at it, you're going to be great. In hell, it doesn't have a damn thing to do with it. Just said, do it. How? Doesn't matter. Did you do it like it says in the book? What does it say in the book?
I don't know.
Even after you read it. So now that I've done all that, now they want me to also, and they've already got me praying every morning. They've got me praying every morning. They've got me thanking God every night, even though you shouldn't a lot of times because God didn't do good. And they've got me, anytime that I'm squirreling or anything, I call my sponsor, tell him what the deal is, or go to the club. They've got me doing all that, which is beginning my way of life. And they want me to learn how to seek God all the time. They are getting me into a way where I'm going to live through situations that God is going to come in, transform my mind, so that he can take over every area of my life. And they use the word transform, so I didn't get that to badness anybody. And we use the word in our book, which is most ridiculous word from us that none of us have ever heard in churches anyway, is going to be reborn. You never heard that, did you? Heard it all my living life. I just didn't know how it happened. Now I know. You go out and get drunk, pass out, go, get the bottle coming in, you get reborn. They just never did tell me how to do it. I went out and found out all over there. Took me a while to do it, but I did it, and it worked, and here we are. Just pretty girls, reborn, brand new, everything's fine. Part of the time. And they're talking about, we're going to live through the experiences of what they talk about. We're going to get God in our life exactly the way they talk about it. They never did tell us how to do it. And you know what I like about them now? They're still talking about it, and they don't know how to do it yet. They haven't got guts enough to be a drunk. That's what it takes first for people like us. Now, I don't know. Maybe you can get it that other way. I don't know. But I know you and I are going to get it that way. And they want me to read something every day. There's different kinds of books, like Alcoholics Anonymous. One of the books they recommend. They recommend we read that on a daily basis, or maybe as Bill sees it. And some of us use, I was given a 24-hour book by my sponsor. That's not what people call approved literature. I don't even know whether AA has approved the Bible or not. But I understand it's not a bad book. I've just recently noticed they're stealing some of our stuff. And I don't think we ought to say anything about it. And they want us to read some of that, and they say if you are affiliated with, acquainted with, or want to be today with a church, well, they sometimes have a daily Bible reading thing, and you can do that. They leave it open, you know, except remember, it's do it. And anybody says it's take what you want, take it, or you don't do it. You got to do it. This is not an idea where they say it's a suggested deal, but there's 49,000 bucks in there, which means you got to do it. You just got to do it. You know, it's not any argument. You don't have to worry. You don't have to like it. You don't have to think it's working. You don't have to think it is working or not working. They'll make a damn what you think about it. Do it. That's all they're saying. You don't like it? Good. Like it? Fine. Hate it? Yeah, good. Can't stand it? Fine. Doesn't make any difference how you are doing it. Just do it. Then you won't be the way you are after you do it a lot. Then you won't know where you are how you got there, because you just know you're there. And you're not over there anymore, you're over here. How'd you get there? Have no idea. They tricked us into a deal that's from God himself, and when it's from God himself, no human being knows, understands it, or can figure it out, and doesn't know where he is, nor how he's getting there. People say, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to go back to the hospital and get my head on straight. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Ain't no way you're going to get your head on straight. And the one I really like is, you need to find out. You really need to diagnose yourself and go to a professional person to find out who you are. Well, I can tell you who you are, and I don't even know you well. You're a drunk. And you have a mental condition, which means that you're a person that's been, and also the thing you need to find out is go to Alcoholics Anonymous and find out you're a child of God, and that's what you don't know, and that's all you need to know. Now, if you want to go pay somebody to find that out, that'll be fine. But they may take years before they let you know that's who you are. But if you don't like it free, well, go hunt it somewhere else. And I'm going to tell you what we do when we go hunt things another way. We go crazier than we were before we started looking. We go nuts. Now, Teddy, read the Bible, it's fine. Read the Alcoholics Anonymous book, it's fine. But don't go act on it, because we probably got it screwed up. Check with your sponsor before you go do something. Period. Another human being in Alcoholics Anonymous. Why? Because our mind's crazy. You really don't believe it. Try it. Go out there and say, I think I'll run it next week. Start Monday morning and run her through Wednesday. You won't make it. Won't make it. Hell, you'll have to call the city to change the lights. The trains, you'll have to have them all stopped. You won't make it. You have to quit your job, divorce your wife. And you can do all that by Thursday. Through prayer and meditation, they tell me, I'm going to improve my conscious contact with God. But remember one little, there's little quickies in here that pops it to you, that says, the only way that I ever am depends on how I am at the time spiritually. Doesn't have any other condition for you and I at all. There's none other. What I like about the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it took the Bible and it said, here it is, baby, in black and white. Don't deviate. Read anything in between the lines. Don't need to do anything. Do exactly what we tell you to do. The way we tell you to do it, and when we say it, that's it. My whole life, on an hourly basis, is contingent on the way I am spiritually. And that's all. Doesn't say anything else. So you and I must have and live a spiritual life. Doesn't say, you can do that if you want to. You do that on a Saturday, for the weekend. It doesn't say, I don't know about this God business. Well, there's no doubt about that. Who in the hell would have a good relationship with God being here? People don't have a good relationship with God and go to Alcoholics Anonymous. They go in there because they're cut off and can't get to. How come everything else does not work? Everything else, psychiatry and all this stuff, does not work for an alcoholic. How come? Because they leave God out of the picture. Alcoholic must have a transformation of the mind. Who can do that? Nobody. What group can do that? None of them. God himself got to do it. And how does that happen? By you and I living this way of life with each other, living this way of life through the experiences that are going to occur in our lives. And your path's going to be different, man, but we're going to go down that path the same identical way. And if we don't, the transformation of mind doesn't come, then you ain't got it, and you ain't got it. And you're not going to get it. And I hate to tell you this, but there's nothing that kills us. My God, this kills us. Just, it's worth saying, well, things that are happening to us are the worst people worth having to. There's no shortcut. There's not a person in this room that hasn't tried, wants to, thinks of today about the shortcut. Now, we didn't call it a shortcut, but we wanted it. They said, softer, easier way? Ain't none. Not any. We have thought there was softer, easier way. There's not any. It's hard for us. You know what I like about us? Never closed the door in our life. Everybody in this room right now has got all those doors open back there so we can go back just in case we want to. There's a rattlesnake in every room back there. Nothing but a rattlesnake. We're the only group of people in the world that I know of that pets rattlesnakes. And when you say, can you really have God Himself take over your life? Yep. Well, I'll have to think about that. And you mean it. We're thinking whether we really ought to go back and we really ought to give up all of our ways to really have the good stuff when we can have that crap back there. And that's what I want. When I don't like it the way it is, and that's what I want, to really want to do, because I leave a crack in every one of those doors back there. And there's not a person right here that knows right now that his old life, no matter where you are right now, is right back there. And it'll take that long. And there's no way for you and I to know up through this time how close we've been to picking up one of those doors all during our time between now, the day we walked through that door the first time, and right now. And believe me, brother, for you and I, it's close. Because you and I are the one that will play it right to the one step over the cliff just to make sure we don't want to go back. And only by God's grace Himself are you and I sitting where we are right now, and there's no other explanation for you and I to be here, be alive, and be sober today. None other. And this is what I like about the book, in a way. There's no gray. It's all black and white. That's just it. And that's it. Just it. I know that we really think we had something to do with it. We didn't have nothing to do with it. Nothing. Have you planned all of your life to go out and get drunk, have car wrecks, get in jail, go to state hospital, everything, so you could get into AA? If you didn't plan that, and you didn't go through all that thinking that that's where you're going, then it's none of your business where you're going after you get here. Because no matter what plans you have, they're not any better than the one you had before. Did you know you needed to go to AA? Hell no, you didn't know you needed to go to AA. Well, then where do you think you're going now? Nobody knows. So quit messing with it. You just know you're going to the opposite to where you were. And the opposite is where you always wanted to be. And don't know where that is. And you don't know where that is. What I like about it is everything in Alcoholics Anonymous, you and I are going to get to know that we know. Now, we need to learn how to meditate. We never think too hard on any subjects anyway. And I want to give you a secret. You got your pencil and paper? It's going to be revelation. I've gone through the experience to learn this. In my group in Houston, when I was in AA there, one night this little girl came right before the meeting, rushing in. She had been to a different church that I had not heard of at that time. And she had been there, and this guy had spent 3.5 hours with her explaining God in meditation.
I love for people to explain stuff to us.
Especially the big spiritual leaders, which we couldn't mess with a little one anyway. And she said, I found out how to meditate. I said, don't tell my sponsor, don't tell another son of a bitch, don't tell anybody. I don't want anybody to know. After the meeting, we won't go to ice cream with them. We'll meet over there in the room. I said, don't say anything, just don't act like anything, just talk to anybody, just walk off over in that room and don't let them see it. And I'll just walk over in there and we'll just hide over there. Let them go on out to ice cream, we won't go. Well, we did that. She got over in the corner and she said, this is what I found out. So I've got some books, but this guy already told me what to do. You know how we are. She bought three damn books, you know. And had me ready to go there and get some more. She said, now here's what you do. This guy knows. Says, this is exactly what you do. You go home, close the doors, get down on your knees by the side of the bed, pray, and clear your mind. Then just let it come in. I thought, oh my God. Well, I can't wait to do that. She said, well, come on, let's go to ice cream. I said, hell no, I'm going home. I know how to do it. God, I ran home, know what the name was there, but she had her bedroom, so I got mine, locked the door. Opened the window a little bit in case the angels wanted to come in. Well, I knew you had a garden angel somewhere. I figured he's out the pool. Yeah. Got out on my knees, prayed, cleared my mind. First thing I thought, I was shacking up with that girl. Said, I don't think you need to meditate in that more than you do already anyway. But I knew however this was, it was not going to be a planned deal by me or anybody else. Then I knew it just wasn't going to be a planned operation for little Jimmy to get this thing to where he could go work God in, that's getting God to do things on his time and his way. Just wasn't going to be that kind of a deal. Damn it, I hate that. God, seems like the Baptists can do that. Some of them. But it's not going to be that way. Just not going to be that way. But we're going to get it. And it's going to do it. You know what it's going to do? It's going to happen to us. God's going to reveal it to us. And you know what way he's going to reveal it to us? His way. Which is so ridiculous for us. He needs to do it on our time and in our way and what we need to know. And see, what I think and know without a shadow of a doubt that I need to know is not what I need to know. But I know it is. But see, when it does happen, that wasn't what I need to know at all. It was not anything you and I could have even thought of that I needed to know. The whole damn group couldn't have figured out what it was I needed to know. But see, I must know. God's children have to know. So we're going to have to know from God himself. It's going to be his way and his time. And that's going to happen to us. I'd leave the club some night, our club, when you left it in about a half in the middle of a long, long walk. And you got down to the end, and some night I could feel God in the back of the car. I just know it's there. I just tell it's there. And when I got the light, I said, tonight I'm not going to turn around. Now, you don't think I did, do you? What few times it happened, I turned around every time it's gone. Then, when I was running my show, doing the work that I was doing and deciding I was in the wrong job, and I told you that. Ended up in Saudi Arabia. They don't drink over there, you know.
No.
They don't sell it over there, you know. And the ones that's bootlegging it that you could finally find is $55 a fifth. So they don't drink a lot over there. And in Saudi Arabia they don't. Other place they do. We were over there 5 months, and the fourth month things were really going to pop. And we were really being destroyed. We had nobody to talk to. We had nothing. We had one little group that kind of met, tried to study the Bible, but they were all civilians. I tried to share with them one night, and they just started, I was wrecking the joint. And I could, then I just stopped, and that gal said, "What in the world were you drinking like that?" And I said, "I was working on my testimony." And we never mentioned it again. So we didn't want to get kicked out of that only place we had. And Eloise and I had about all the meetings two people can have in 5 months. So I got up one morning about 3 o'clock, which is normal. I do a lot of heavy thinking then. And I walked in the living room and I said, "God," I grabbed that living Bible and I said, "God, I want to tell you something. We're being destroyed. We have absolutely nobody to talk to. I cannot think in any form, fashion, or way what in the world is going on. I have got to know what's happening to us." And I said, "I want to turn on this light. You always give Eloise a scripture, but you never do me." And I said, "I have got to know what it is." And I said, "I do not know the Bible, so I'm just going to turn on the light and open it." I turned on the light and I opened it, and he told me exactly what was going on, exactly what I needed to do, and exactly what was going to happen. He told me that the Lord was lording over the lords, and boy, that's what was happening. The money was over the money, and they were grabbing it and running that old show, and that I needed to become the least. And I did. They put me on guard duty, and the least of the person I ended up the least on guard duty, and when it happened to me, I just grinned for the first time in my life when something like that happened. And I spent the next 3 weeks on guard duty at night, working daytime, guard duty at night. And then I just read the Living Bible, New Testament Living Bible. Don't remember one single thing, but I proved I did. And I did that, and then the next Friday, after that was over, which was about a month after that happened to me, I got up on Friday morning, I said, "Eloise, we're going home." She said, "How do you know?" I said, "I don't know, we just know. I'm going home. We're just going home." Tuesday morning, we was on our way back to Dallas. See, God lets us know, and He's there, and He's available. You and I can't hear it. We're cut off. He's just there. Now don't go try to work that tonight. Go home and say, "Now God, I know you're there, tell me something." And then there's been days in my life. One time I was here and living in an apartment over in Dallas, and one day I just got up and I just ate breakfast and I just walked down to the pool, 9 o'clock, took the Bible with me, and for some reason I read the Bible until 3:30 that afternoon. Wasn't one soul came to that pool. Eloise brought me a sandwich and a coat down there and didn't say one word to soul. Don't know what happened after that either. Don't know what was the deal of it, what happened to me or anything. I just could do that. And I've had several days like that. When they talk about prayer, when meditation things have come to me, I've been on the way to Brownwood. Just driving to Brownwood. Didn't do anything either. The day that I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous, 2 months, doing what this program told me to do, I've been drunk three months, is the day that I get up that morning, and by the time I hit that loop at 9:10, God moved into that car with me and stayed with me all day and let me know that I know I'm never going to have to drink again or take a mind-changing drug unless I myself insist upon it. And I knew I needed it. And he stayed with me all day long. I didn't arrange that. I didn't know when it was going to be, how it was going to be, nor did I know what it was going to be. There's no way to know if God's thoughts are higher than mine, and His ways are higher than mine, you and I are not going to know how to make it happen. And if God's going to do it for me, then I ain't going to be able to do it anyway. And this program says in plain, simple, basic language, God is going to do for me what I could never do for myself. Now, what is it? You and I gave our minds, body, and soul to the best method you and I knew how to give ourselves life, and we could not do it. You could not. You did everything in your world to give yourself life. You did everything your people that you went to school with did, and it worked for them. But it did not work for you. It did not work for me. And it did not. If it worked, you wouldn't be in here. Still be doing it. So they're telling me that I'm coming in here for God to give me life, and He gives it to me as I live through the experience of my life being given up. My old self. Self-centered. They're saying, how are you going to do that? You're going to live through the experience of you dying. And I'm going to tell you something, the living death are a son of a bitch. And if you don't think so, ask yourself. Because you know. Nobody else may know, but I'll guarantee you one thing I know. I'll tell you, Jimmy Williams dying is fun. If you think I can get up and give myself up, you're crazy. Now, you are crazy, but I'm... But you're not going to be able to give yourself up. You and I have to go to any length. And what are they telling me? What? When I had affairs, how in the hell was I going to give that up? Stop doing it. What'd that do to me? Hell gave me brain damage. I had fits. Damn right I had fits. But how was I going to stop drinking? Don't drink. God, every day don't drink. Every night don't drink. You had the method. I had to call you to keep from drinking. I had to call you to keep from calling her. Or a her. I had to call you to do it. I have to call you to keep from doing my ways. I have to call you to keep from hating somebody. You see, all the things that you and I are talking about and thinking about, we're talking about and thinking about the way things are that we think that's the way it is. We think that's hell not to be able to do this, not to have a girlfriend, not to have a boyfriend, not to have companionship, not to have a good marriage, not to have this, not to have that. As long as we're all not to have it, need it, can't have it, then we cannot find the answer from God, because we're cut off. We're emotionally involved, and when I'm emotionally involved, I cannot hear God at all. So they know that. So what they got? They got me not doing it, doing this, not doing that, talking to some idiot every day. We're all idiots, you know. So I call some idiot. Well, do you think that idiot knows? No, hell, he don't know any more than you know. But he knows what you not to do that day and do, and then God's going to do it. That's a very complicated program. And that's it. And then God comes in at His good time, and He transforms our minds and changes us. And as we're changed, He can give us what He wants us to have. Now, that may be take a couple of weekends. You and I did not jump at this thing and just rush in here and say, oh my God, I'm glad I'm here. Now everything's going to be fine. Do you mean all I have to do is totally give up all of my old ideas? Yep, that's all. Just give them all up. What about my deep desires? Well, just give them up. Just don't let it bother you anymore. So, you never told your sponsor you needed anything or that God hadn't done anything over a couple of days, did you? I've been here 16 years. If it only lasts a couple of days, let me know, will you? But that's what's going to happen to you and I. But what's so good about it is we're going to have all desires that we wanted fulfilled. There's a good part about this whole damn thing that looks like it's just after. And you and I have disaster after disaster, you know. We're disaster people. We have disaster even when there's not one. They want me to pray. Here's what I'm going to do. Do you pray every morning? They want us to pray every single morning. I go through the actions of praying when I can't pray. When I'm bogged down, can't do a thing, they want me to, I just get on my knees and say, God, it's the best I can do. Heaven, not drink today in Jesus' name. Amen. Best I can handle it. Just let her fly. Now, I say this prayer today, every day. God, take me today. Let me be what you want me to be. Let thy will only be done in my life. Help me to definitely not take a drink of anything alcoholic or a mind-changing drug. Help me to definitely not smoke a cigarette, tobacco of any form, to put into this mind or body anything you do not want in it. Should that old sex hang-up return, definitely no action taken and let the thought be fleeting and pass on by. Should any of my old thinking return, it will, you know, let the thought be fleeting and pass on by with definitely no action taken. Then I pray for a few guys and gals that are in my life that day. And that's what I do every morning. And when I get in the car, I say, God, I invite you into the day. Whatever this day may be, let it be by you. And just take my work and take everything along with it. And whatever it is you want to be done today, let it be. I can't do that, you know. Well, I say that every day. And there's days that I can't do that, and I also find God hasn't done properly. So I inform him. Of course, that's a total, absolute waste of time. That prayer is totally not involved in me and God at all. But I do it. And I'll say, God, you do not know what's going on. You do not know. You've got all the power. You're the guy that splits the sea and drives the land, let them walk across. Hell, you've got it all. What the hell is this going on? Now, I haven't done that since this morning. But what's good about that is I come out of it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get shot at. You're going to get it, kid. We're going to get it. It ain't going to be ice cream and cake. And the more you sit around here and start talking about AA, start talking about prayer, start talking about God, you're going to get the rumble. And you're going to get the civilian life, the life shooting at you. I've had more of it this last year than I've ever had since been in Alcoholics Anonymous. I've had more of it openly shot at me, people doing things to me directly and indirectly than it's ever happened to me, and I've been aware of it more in the last 9 months than it's ever been since I've been there. So don't think it's going to be, and the big part about it is, you and I are going to become people. We are God's children. We don't know it. But that's one thing we don't know that we need to know that we're going to know. We live in the place where your church, if you raise a church, talks about. We're one of those people. We're it, because otherwise we wouldn't be here. No way for us to get in here. Now, whether we're going to take it and go with it and do what this thing says and be willing to go do it, you don't have to think it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to know whether it's working or it's going to work. All we need to do is do it. And that's it, and nothing else. And if you got a sponsor that's not going along the line that you want to go, get rid of it. You know how you do that? Don't talk to him anymore. And feel real guilty about it for at least a month or two. And then when you fire him, he won't speak to you. Thank God. She won't speak to him, and I saw her last night. Probably don't like her anyway. You know, we're the greatest people in the world that want people to like us we can't stand. We'll give up 10 of the people we like real well and worry about that one we can't stand because they don't like us. We do that. I need to know, do you pray every day? You need to know you do. You need, if you're not doing it, do it. You know how I learned so much about me?
I started working with others. You know how I started working with others? In the beginning, they would not let me work with others. And I wanted to work with others. And then finally, these two guys, one night, my sponsor, the guy says, we're going on a 12-step call. We've decided we're going to let you go. Well, I'm ready to go. Couldn't stand it, couldn't wait for what I've been looking for. They've made me walk the way. See, I didn't realize they were making me walk to go do it. The reason I walked to go do it, because they've never let me do it. I didn't know what it was. How are you going to know what it was? You didn't know. You couldn't have wanted to do AA. Hell, you just came in here and started doing it. You didn't because you want to. You didn't want to after you got in here. You started doing it before you knew you was doing it. Then you didn't know what you was doing. And I got in the car and these guys said, now remember, you don't say anything. Just cut you off like that. And then right before we got out of the car, these guys prayed. We walked in there. And hell, I sat there listening to them talk to those guys. That guy, hell, they left out some stuff. They wouldn't let me say anything, so I thought, well, I'll go in and help the wife. She's in the kitchen. Just got to where I was being able to help her. We were just standing there. And they came and got me. Said, we're going to see that she gets to Al-Anon. You won't need to talk to her. They went two or three more times with them, and they never let me say a word. Never. And right at the last, every time they'd say, by the way, Jack, this is Jim. Walk right out the door. Then one day I was at the club, and the phone rang, and it was in a group, and she had one. And I said, I'll take it. So I wrote it down, and I called him and clarified it. I love that word. And got the dress and everything, got it all set, got everything ready to go over there, and I waited. About that time, here comes the big shots. Didn't tell them nothing. Then a guy came in I knew, been sober about a month. I said, come go with me. My sponsor said, hey, where y'all going? We'll go with you. And I said, nope, can't go. Got in the car and took it. I said, we're going on a 12-step call. You don't need to say anything. I'll handle it. Got up there. He lived upstairs in the garage apartment, which is some of our favorite places. And I went up there, and the guy had about half a beer sitting there, and he brought in. I gave him 30 minutes of my best shot. And you know, they wouldn't let me go to ice cream. They wouldn't let me do anything in the beginning. Man, this is going to be different. And I gave him my 30 minutes of my best shot. He turned around to me and said, can I finish this beer? That's all he'd been thinking about. But I don't know that. He said, sure. Finish that beer. I said, I'm going to tell you something. Don't drink anything tomorrow. And I'll take you to a meeting. I'd heard him say that. And I said, I'll call you tomorrow afternoon at 4:30. Called him 4:30. I said, I'll pick you up 7:30. Fine. Picked him up, took him to me. I said, man, you're in luck. Took him to a Friday night meeting, and you know what? I took him to ice cream the first night. Now, he didn't eat the ice cream, but he drank that coffee. I had him on that milk and honey, and he was turning into honey and milk. And the next day, I called him, and the next day, I picked him up, and I said, man, you're lucky Saturday night. We have an hour and a half discussion meeting, and several groups meet together, and this is it, brother. You're going to love this meeting. After it's over, I said, man, it's a nice different. We go to a different place for ice cream every Saturday night, and it's great. Some other groups meet, and we have a time. He said, take me home. I said, well, you can't do that. You're going to miss it. He said, hell, I can't. I've had all this crap I want. I tell you what, I said, now listen, you can't do anything. You cannot do anything without us. I said, I'll call you now. He said, don't you ever call me. Well, that was Sunday. And he made it through Sunday. This guy had been on beer for 3 years and not doing too bad. He got him a case of bourbon and was in the hospital by Wednesday night.
been out of town, so I told, well, when I got back in late Wednesday night, I went to a Thursday night meeting, and my sponsor got up and announced to my group, if anyone knew anybody that wasn't quite ready, let Jim talk to him. Finally did get a guy one night in a group. They finally got the message. You know, you gotta have a message to carry to somebody if they need a message. You know, I don't know why that's the way that is, when we're as smart as we are. So finally I got a guy that came into my life. He now has, that'll be, he had 12 years, 13 years April. April 1st. And he taught me more about me than anybody ever saw. He had the women deal bad. And he exercised all of it sober so I could see just exactly what it was. Just exactly how you really do get into those things and how they look. How I used to look when she come there and said, listen, you no good sucker, bitch. And I'd sit there and take it and wouldn't be back over there for maybe a couple of days. And I watched him do that for me. I watched him come in, and he was different than I. He came in on a Tuesday night. We talked about 1 o'clock at Men's Club about 10:30, and he never has taken another drink. And I didn't do that. I drank 2 times 3 months apart. But he's taught me a lot about me. I saw me. I saw the set fit in him, and I saw how bad I looked. And I saw that total negative, when there's nothing changed. Nothing changed. And he shows me the way I am. Now that doesn't mean that I don't feel this. But he showed me over and over. I told him, I said, I don't know how you're going to come out, but I'm getting better. Still calls me every Saturday and comes to see us. We get together quite a bit. He and his wife, he's finally lived through 3 marriages since he's been AA. And they were all good ones, just like we always have. You know, you can keep having the same things you had before if you want it. When I get a sponsor and I need to change, hello, Reverend, and if I need to change, then I'm going to need to have a sponsor who knows what the deal is. You know, if you're going to put a relationship together, you better go to somebody that had one and has got one put together, know something about it. And advice, we don't give it. We don't have it here. Somebody's giving you advice, you got the wrong show. Can you imagine my calling guy and telling him what I know about my work? And he gave me advice. You know what it would be? Quit your job. If it's as bad as I say it is. What about your wife? Let me tell you about her. Well, then get a divorce. We don't do that here. You find out for yourself. See what really happens. I'm telling you what the deal is all the time. And as I change, I'm going to find out the truth of what the deal really is. I found out in my marriage I didn't have one. I found it out in my work that I quit and ran off on after going to 6 different guys who told me not to, that I was in the right work. And you know, the amends that I made to my wife was I got a divorce. After I stayed there long enough to change, so when I did get the divorce, I knew we had nothing and I knew it. And God arranged everything. But if I'd have ran on it, you know what I had to do? I'd have to go get one of those 6 deals again and rerun that damn thing. I had to go rerun my work to get back after 3 years and still paying for it with the same company doing the same thing so I could change the way God needed me to change to begin with. But who did that? Jimmy Williams did that. God didn't do that. I did it. Why? Because that's the only damn way I'd learn. And when I say learn, I don't learn to go do it my way. I learn not to go do it. We're not learning something so we can go do it, get it, and go do it. We're learning to get it so we won't have to do it. How in the hell is God going to do anything for me if I do it? How are you going to go work and let God do it instead of you doing it when you're there? Well, that's a tough job. But it can happen to you. How? When God changes you inside. I need to live to where nothing out there is ever going to change the way I am. And that's what they're trying to get us to do. What do you think they're trying to do when they write that little thing down? They just want you to find out you're scared to death. The fear, the reaction from a person who's scared does what you and I do. We hold on to something sick because we're afraid to let it go. We never live without it. What the hell do you do without a sick deal? God scared the hell out of us, didn't me. But after I lived through it, found out what was wrong with me, and God removed that, and I went to you, and I knew I could have it. How did I know that? Hell, I don't know how I knew. I just knew. After the sickness was removed. Then you told me how to live with somebody. How? Never find fault with them. Avoid it like the plague. Is that clear, or do you need that explained? Don't find fault with anybody. Are you going to see it? You bet. Don't tell them. Ever. Ever. Not at all. Never going to tell a human being if they do it over and over and over again 100 times. Let them do it. Tell them what. How many times you said, Eloise, you know what you need to do. And I know what she needs to do. And I know if she does it, we'll be better. You know what I'm meant to do? Nothing. Don't tell her. And say, God, take our relationship and let it become what you want it to be. What do you think happened during that? It happened. You put the relationship together. I didn't. You showed me how to begin to go with Eloise after I had changed. And let me change inside. My sex life had to be changed. How are you going to get that changed? You told me how to do that. How do you do that? You invite God into it every single time. 95% of my thoughts used to be sex for my life, and now it's 5% of my life. Now it's totally satisfying, and before it never was. How did that happen? Hell, I don't know. I just did what you told me not to do. And how did I get to there to where I could find out I had the problem? Didn't do it. And then it surfaced. Then it was removed. Then we have that. I have no children. She had 3 children. Those children now, and their father is still living. But they don't go see him maybe once a year, and they come to see me, and they come to see us. Their grandchildren think I'm it. They don't know any different, and I shall never tell them. I don't have time to tell you that story, but those children and those grandchildren are as if they were ours, and there's no difference. And that daughter, we went through hell with her. I thought she was going to break that thing up, but Alan and Eloise took care of that deal, and I did not get the help. And today, they just got back from being up here 2 weeks, the 2 little grandbabies. I didn't know how to be around children or be around grandchildren. God, through my sponsor, helped me to be what I was supposed to be. Let them be what they need to be. Let them love me, and it's happening. Hug me, squeeze me, don't ask to say hug me, they come and do it. I first tried to do it, that didn't work. Then when I left them alone, they do it. See, that's just us. And I have that relationship today, and you know what happened? The daughter, I had to leave to go out of town. And when they got ready to leave, the daughter turned around
to her, and she said to her mother, "You know, it's unbelievable the way y'all live. People don't live like you live. Y'all did not fuss nor find any fault with one another for all the 2 weeks that I was here. No matter what was going on, nobody lives like that. I couldn't make that happen. I didn't even know that's what you're seeing. I didn't even know that's what's going on. God and Al not live in our home. That's the result of that home." Let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pray every day. And when you read something from the Bible and you read a daily thing every day, don't take it off and run with it. Don't memorize it and think it's going to do something. Don't say, "I'm going to repeat that God gives you $1 million every day, so it'll be true." See, that's not us. Our deal is, God, here I am, to be changed, to be used by you. It's a tough deal now, but that's what our prayer says. Our third step prayer, our seventh step prayer says, "God, here I am, take me now, and let me live through the experience so you can change me, reveal to me what I need to know, and let me be wherever I am." Stay where you are. Stay in the job you're in. If you're not married, stay that way. And God will change you, and he will change that if it needs to be changed. Doesn't make any difference. If you know you shouldn't be there, you know you need to leave it, you know, and then it'll be taken care of. I'll assure you, if you're supposed to divorce, supposed to marry somebody, supposed to be married, not married, supposed to change jobs, God will change it. Our problem is, if we change it ourselves, we have to go in the same damn place again and rerun it and rerun it and rerun it and rerun it. If you don't believe we're rerunners, look around and watch them rerun it and rerun it. And you can see them rerunning it if you're not one of the rerunners. Now let me just tell you a few little things that I know. And some of this I've only known in the last 2 or 3 years. And I knew them after many disasters, after all that disaster in Saudi Arabia, after coming back to Dallas, supposedly to get a job, moved to Houston, they gave it to somebody else, and I knew God didn't know what he was doing. Hundreds and thousands of times since I've been sober, I knew without a shadow of a doubt God did not know what he was doing. And God was doing things to me. God was not doing things to me. Things that were happening to me, God was trying to say, "Stay with AA, keep doing AA, and that will be taken care of." That's what God's telling me today. No matter what happens to me in my work, and what in my life, no matter who shoots at me or what they try to do to me, stay in AA, pray to me every day. Know that I'm going to take care of all of that and all of that. That's what you and I are going to stand and know, that God is God. That's no big deal. You won't know it any other way. There's no other way to know it. And I know today, by not leaving my job, not changing again, I came up on 7 years in the same deal I was in, and you know what happened? I got the same opportunity with a different man to leave it, just like I did before, 10 years ago in 1972. Except this time, did you know I went down there, I went to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to make sure I didn't go do it again? The same thing I did in 1972. Then I turned it down, and I went down there to get in it, and that crappy feeling came. And I walked back upstairs, and Eloise says, "Well, how was it?" She knew I had it set up to do it again. And I turned it down. And now, what is going to happen now, I don't know. But I know it was turned down, and what's supposed to happen now was what's supposed to happen, I guess, back in 1972 and 1973. Here's some things I know, and it's 9 o'clock and I'll quit. But I know this, and I've known this for the last 2 or 3 years, and it came to me mostly when I was driving somewhere. By just reading some scripture, not trying to memorize it, not trying to use it, not trying to do anything with it, not trying to make anything happen with it,
Just reading it and letting it become part of me. And the only way you do that is read it and don't pay attention to it. Just keep reading, don't pay attention to it. Just keep reading it, don't pay attention to it. And then it came to me that the only thing that you and I did, and it was so strong that one day that I was going to San Angelo, that it was so strong that day and nothing could touch me, that I knew the only thing that I needed to know that I didn't know, and the only thing we didn't know that we need to know, as if we were God's children. And that if we are God's children, nothing can hurt us. We don't need to know anything else, but we need to know that we know that. And that's what we never, never need. Nothing bothered me all day that long. I went through the work and it was nothing. Nothing touched me in mind or anything changed my mind, affected my mind that night and 3 days later. Nothing touched me. It was so strong till it faded out. But see, I knew. I'm a child of God. Now that doesn't mean that they didn't hit me this morning and I thought I was fine and they hit me with a bad deal in business. But see, I recovered in an hour and a half after having a fit. See, God's not expecting me to be strong. He knows, and I know. We got here because we're weak. And it says we get strength through weakness. How do you get strength? No other way. We're in it. That's it. And other things I know without a shadow of a doubt. And I knew this before I knew the latter part. I knew about 4 years ago that without a shadow of a doubt, you and I are God's chosen children. He chose us. It's as if He took you by the shoulder of the shirt and jerked you up from that pit you're in out there and stuck you right in here. You and I got here no other way but by God picking us up out there in the darkness we knew and didn't know was in and placed us in here. And I want to tell you something else I know. You and I were never going to find life, never going to find relationships, never going to find God any other place than Alcoholics Anonymous. Nobody, Al-Anon, Al-Ateen, AA people, or never anybody that was sent to this program, no matter who they were, God had it designed for them. And I know that. Now maybe we turned it down, but it was for us. Now if you want to go to church, you just need to know how to go to church. You know how to go to church? Tell the pastor or priest you're at Alcoholics Anonymous, and if he needs any help, you're available. Don't change it, don't do anything else, and if you get a blessing, fine. No other way. Don't go run it, teach it, change the Bible. Don't do it. And another thing that I'll need to know that I know. I'm in the place that I finally am in the place that living through the experience, all of my desires that I had basically, and all of my principles that I had from God Himself, and I had those before I ever went to church or went anywhere, or probably was born, that I'm going to need to live that way. And that's the way I'm going to become, by living through those experiences. And I'm not the way that I think I am. The things that have bothered me and that are wrong in my life today that I think I know to be wrong is not me. That's my old self that has yet not died. But I now am whatever God is in me. And the thing that's happening to me over week after week, month after month, and year after year, is that I'm dying and part of me dies and more of God takes over my life. And that's all that's happening to us. But remember the difference. Without a relationship with your fellow man, it's impossible to have a relationship with God. And they tricked us into having a relationship with our fellow man. Today, by my being changed this far, I can be with women,
and love women as God designed it to be. Love men as God designed it to be, and be in love with my wife. Because of the way God changed me in 16 years of being with you. And I don't know what other changes are going to happen to me, but I know where I am, and I know who I am. I'm a child of God just like you. He chose this way of life for you and for me, and He gave it to us. And He gave it to us so He could change us, to give us that one thing that holds us together. That no matter when we call one another, what we say to one another, what we do one-on-one with one another, and every time we meet together and every time we call, that one thing, that power of God is going to win. We won the game. We used to lose the battles. We used to win the battles and lose the game. And now we're losing some battles, but we've won the game. Why? Because you know where we live? You know why you and I couldn't fit in the world and we tried to fit in there? Because you and I live in the kingdom of God. God's people cannot fit in the world. And you and I tried to make it fit. And we got sick by trying to live in both worlds. And that's impossible. That makes people sick. And you and I got sick. And the only healer is God Himself. Nobody else. And nobody else understands us but us. Because God set it up that way. And He gave us the one thing to heal each other. Just like He said when He said, admit your faults one to another and be healed by me. And He says that. And that's happening to you and me. But see, we've got the secret. We got it just like it is right now. Just like it's been over here for 4 weeks. We've got all the power there is. The one that wins it all. Just like it is right now. And I can feel you loving me and me loving you. Thank you very much.